We're going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through to 18. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
It's fantastic to be here with you. It's really, really wonderful. This is a church that's alive, the Spirit of God. As a stranger, having come into this sanctuary, God's presence is here. Hallelujah! The way in which you love the Douglas family by nearly saying as much Nepali in a service as English or Welsh is incredible. I'd love to have seen Angus and Helen doing some Nepali up the front. That would be great. When they come next back to the church, they should lead the whole thing in Nepali. That would be great. This service, this whole occasion, it's all about the call of God. The plan of God. God's guidance, God's hand upon a wonderful family. Church life often is about the conversation of the call. Whether it be at the end of a service or perhaps the Spirit of God has touched you in a particular way and the call of God is something that you're sharing with someone else over tea and coffee at the end. Or maybe it's a discussion in a home group. What does God want to do with my life? Where does God want me to go? Who does God want me to marry is often in the mix. How can I hear God speak? What is God's plan for my life? A peculiar feature of the call are doors. If this door shuts, then it's wrong. If this door opens, then it's right. I don't know where that theology has come from, but perhaps the film Monsters, Inc. has got something to do with it. A theology of doors. In ministry, in my own time as a Baptist minister abroad in Albania, with a young, vulnerable church, teenagers would come to me and say, Pastor, where does God want me to go? What does God want me to do? At IMC, as a director, people change location. That happens on a fairly regular basis. In my own experience, Hannah and I fairly newly married, a couple of years, went with our son, Ben, who is now 11. He was 4 months old. We went to Albania. But I tell you, we too were at IMC, and for a while we were going to Thailand to do church planting in Bangkok. But at the 11th hour, God changed our direction. We said, that's not the right place for us. And we didn't know where else to go. There was no other option until the name Albania came up. And when it came up, we were totally and utterly convinced. We just knew it was right. But believe me, others had their own opinion. Family. Family was so supportive. But it was hard. You've said no to one country, but now you're going to another. We can't get our heads around that. I don't think that's what God really is saying to you. They had a particular view of God's plan. But some were very open and said, yes, definitely. It's a confusing thing to discern the plan and the purpose of God. And the two questions that we most often ask in relation to this very search in our Christian lives are these. Put that on the screen, that would be great, thank you. Where does God want me to be, and what does God want me to do? But I want to suggest to you that that's actually, while they're okay questions, they're not really what mission is about. Often they're associated with mission, but I want to suggest it's not really where it's at. There are two other questions that I think are deeper, more important. You can put those up, please. Simple questions. What is God like? What am I like? Two very simple questions. And whether it's Panath or Kathmandu, they're questions that are relevant to all of us this morning. So, let's explore, shall we? What God is like. During this past year, it has been wonderful to get to know Angus and Helen and their children. They have been the perfect students. You can imagine that of Helen, can't you? Let's imagine Angus. Yeah, I'm getting you back, aren't I? In the reception hall at the International Mission Centre, there is a telephone, but there's also a table tennis table. And Angus and I have been known to challenge one another there. I think we're pretty equal, actually. But they've spent time socialising, getting to know folk, researching about Hinduism, exploring about Nepal as a country, learning about the history of BMS in that place, learning about the growth and the amazing growth, and Roger will be able to testify to this, of the church in Nepal. It really is on fire in so many ways. God is moving in that place. They've learnt about the poverty and the inequality and injustice of a nation that struggles. They've engaged in mission locally in Birmingham. Birmingham is very different from Panath. Very multicultural. They've engaged with a ministry to people from Asia. They've been involved in Bible study with students from around the world, whether that be Friends International or Cameo. They have been involved in the life of community and sharing as a family and community. They have been involved competitively in all sorts of sports and games. They've had their jabs and more jabs, and it's been challenging. But I want to suggest that the most important aspect of their preparation, and the preparation for every Christian, relates to these two words. What is God like? What am I like? Simple. It's all too easy to think that mission is an activity of ours. It's something that we do. But the foundation of mission is that it belongs to God. It defines God's character. Mission is not an activity of the church. Mission is an attribute of who God is. Want to know God? What God is like? He's a missionary. Mission exists because God loves his creation. God is known supremely and perfectly through the life of Jesus. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement by being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, the if is actually much more certain, it's a because. This is who God is, full of love, full of tenderness, compassion, mercy, comfort, full of fellowship. God is like a person who likes others. It's quite simple. In his life and witness, in his teaching and socializing, Jesus is full of encouragement to the broken, the downtrodden, the despised and the rejected. He is full of comfort for the lost and the lonely. He is full of love for all people. He is tender and compassionate. He is both king who is kind and the servant who suffers. In Christ, God searches for humanity. And this has been true ever since the Spirit hovered over the waters of creation. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who seeks to save that which is lost. And when creation and humanity was lost, God came in awesome gentleness and tenderness and power and strength. Hannah and I were once in a church in America, and I remember this distinctly, and I think Hannah does too. We heard this sermon from an American pastor who walked up to the pulpit. He was an older guy, and he'd been in Indonesia for years and years and years as a missionary, only just recently returned back to America. And he said that he preached his first sermon in the Indonesian language. And as he was walking up the pulpit, he changed his sermon, because he saw this bookcase with a book on it. And it said, it had the title, Humanity's Search for God. And he knew in that one moment the distinct difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. And it's this. Whereas in every other religion, it's humanity's search for God. In Christianity, it's God's search for humanity. God is the initiator, the one who takes or makes the first move in a relationship of love. And we know that supremely in the life of Christ. Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Just show this picture, please. This picture comes from a place near Kathmandu. It's in Kolkata, in West Bengal, India. And a couple of years back, I had the privilege of leading a group of Baptist ministers to do some theological training in another part of the world, in Calcutta. And part of the program was to visit different projects, but I took us on a little detour away from the projects, which were, quite frankly, all about Christians doing Christian work. Very good, fantastic. But I wanted to engage with Hinduism. And so we went to the temple, the Kaligat Temple, which is a temple of worship to the goddess Kali. Kali, Calcutta, the connection fits. The name Calcutta comes from this Hindu understanding of Kali. Kali means death and destruction. A temple where animals were sacrificed, where flowers were put round the necks of visitors, where the pungent smell of incense was everywhere, and people stood and sat shoulder to shoulder, face to face. Absolutely intense environment. Blood, incense, flowers, worship to death and destruction. And in the corner of this temple was this image of Christ on the cross. For this is the place where Mother Teresa first began her ministry in Calcutta to the dying and destitute. The temple, all grand and colourful, to death and destruction. And in the corner of the temple, I don't know how she did it, Mother Teresa was about that high, but really had a steely determination, went into the temple and transformed part of it, that Jesus would be known and his reign manifested. And inside this pocket where Christ is on the cross as a memorial to the suffering, compassion is shown where visitors go in and hold the hands of those who are dying and destitute, so that in their dying there is a sense of belonging, so that no one would suffer the indignity of dying alone, but that the presence of Christ may be manifested by people holding hands of those in pain and fear of death. The image of I thirst is the reason that Jesus came to the world, to serve as a suffering king. Mission without the cross is just simply activity. What makes Christian mission, what makes what Helen and Angus are doing distinctive in the world today as opposed to the happy moral pagan who wants to do good in society? What's the difference? The life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. Christ poured his life out that the world may believe. The cross is the place where Jesus emptied himself of all desire to dominate and identified himself with the poor and the suffering. The cross is the place where the world's poor are not forgotten. Someone said, when the poor are forgotten, God is forgotten too. The cross is the place where the poor are found in Christ. The cross is the gateway that establishes the rule, the peace, the love, the life of God on earth as in heaven. The cross restores hope because it is the place where the powers of poverty, of disease in our relationships, of brokenness in our humanity, of injustice in our structures and separation from our Creator, all these things are restored and healed. I have a definition of the church, and in that sense, a definition of Christian witness, and it's this. Community being healed. We've not got it all sorted. We go as witnesses who have been recipients of the life brought to us by the death of Christ and the hope given to us by the resurrection of Christ, that we may go and proclaim and witness. Creation is being healed. Hallelujah. Once we glimpse the incredible, life-giving, perfect, loving character of God, then it leads us to the second question on the screen. What am I like? But Verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. I can think, I can theologize, I can hear a nice few words about God. But me? But us? God is holy. I'm not perfect, the poster said outside. And yet this passage is calling us to think about the purpose and plan and hand of God in our lives. And the passage draws us into the depths of God to such an extent that we are called to be like God. Is that heresy? Is that impossible? The Bible also says, be holy because I am holy. The Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being. The Bible says, be imitators of God. The Bible says, go and do likewise. The Bible says, well, Jesus says to his disciples, you will do even greater things than these. I can't get my head around that. This is about being in community with God in such a way that you act like God acts. That you behave with humor and all like God acts. It is clear that Angus and Helen have been touched by the Spirit of God. They've been comforted by His love. They are united to Christ. And this means what they're doing in the world today is simply reflecting the character of God. I don't know how you celebrated the Diamond Jubilee. Friends of ours, Colin and Jane, who we stay with, went to London and enjoyed the festivities there. I came to Wales with my family and got rained upon. It was North Wales, not South. I don't know what you did for the Jubilee celebrations. You may have just listened to it on the radio, you've seen it on the television, or read about it in the newspaper. I'm a bit of a cheapskate, so I buy the iPaper, 20p. And in the iPaper, it says that the Jubilee celebrations called our nation to a place of belonging and community because, and this was the word, the phrase, there is a hunger for association. I love that. Great strapline for a church. There is hunger for association, not simply with each other, but let's take this to a deeper level. There is a hunger of association with God. What is God like? What am I like? Whether Nepal and Kathmandu or Penarth and South Wales, as Christians we are encouraged, invited, called with a purpose to imitate the life of Christ. Having the same love. Being like-minded, to reach out to the poor, to bring good news to the oppressed, to be open to the anointing of the Spirit, to bring freedom to the prisoners, sight for the blind, release of those in decay and bondage. Simply put, what Angus and Helen are doing is that they are exercising their conversion. Because to be converted from Christ to Christ is to move from selfish existence toward self-giving love. I thought about changing this sermon to talk to you pretty candidly about what ambition is. It's not wrong to be ambitious. I'd love to spend a bit more with you and talk about ambition. I'm not going to. But ambition in its simplest form, from a Christian perspective, is to discover the beauty and privilege of moving from living selfishly to living selflessly. Because that's what God's like. The reason he came to the earth was a self-giving expression of his personality. Don't mean to put you on a pedestal, Angus and Helen, but that's what you're like. We know you're servants. You've moved, you've been liberated. The cross has freed you from living selfishly into a place of living selflessly. You are living for others. That's why you're going. Mission is anything but selfish ambition. It is the complete opposite. You're a GP. A quantity surveyor. Well, chartered even. You've got gifts. But actually, you're choosing not to leave it all behind, but to give what God has given you, the experience, the education, the desire, and using it all for the glory of his kingdom. This passage calls us to think of others better than ourselves. I want you to do that just now. Think of someone better than yourself. Could be a work colleague. Could be a family member. Could be a friend. And pray to give your life to that person. Because that's what Christ has done for us. I just want to conclude with this quote on the screen, please. The next slide. We should be so one with God that we don't continually need to ask for guidance. Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Let's just shelve that for a moment, shall we? What is God like? What am I like? And when you explore that, well, mission is pretty natural, really. Amen.
May now the peace of the sending God be with you, with your family, with your loved ones, with those you are near. And may the blessing of that God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.